Face the Music, a pre-ELO song-by-song podcast, is sponsored by fine people like Roland Ledger.
This is Face the Music, a pre-ELO song-by-song podcast. Mr. Crow and Sir Norman, the Idle Race.
Ventriloquist was he, little boy sat on his knee. The show was but the best one in the land. Until one night before the act, the dummy's clothes had all been packed away. He'd gone, and he left poor Mr. Crow right in the lurch. You know.
What's that song all about?
Mr. Crow and Sir Norman was the fifth track on the second Idle Race album, released sometime in 1969. In issue number 7 of ELO fanzine Face the Music in 1990, Gill wrote,
Mr. Crow and Sir Norman is reminiscent of the birthday party's school of thought. An oompa tune complete with accordion, falsetto vocals, and crowd applause surrounding the odd story of a ventriloquist dummy who packs his bags and leaves his master, only to return in a blaze of glory, famous in his own right, and demanding to be addressed as Sir. Somewhere amongst all the chaotic fade-out can be heard a conversation between Mr. Crow and Sir Norman, but we are not exactly sure who is instigating it.
Patrick Guttenbacher, Mark Haynes, and Alexander von Pietersdorf wrote in the 1996 book Unexpected Messages,
Mr. Crow and Sir Norman was not only a unique moment in terms of sound and production, but also because of the inclusion of Mike Batt. We recorded that one with Mike Batt on accordion. Mike was a keyboard player who worked for Liberty Records, and he was also a score writer. He came down to the studio, and three of us ended up playing accordion. Me, Roger, and Mike. It was a bit chaotic. One of us holding it, one of us was pushing and pulling it, and Mike Batt was playing the keys, recalls Dave Pritchard of the session.
I resign. From now on, I'm a single. As for you, you can turn in your lap.
I'm Eric Paul Johnson.
And I'm Eric Winsenson.
Mr. Crow and Sir Norman. The timeless story about a ventriloquist dummy who breaks up the act, goes out on his own, and becomes a superstar.
I think they get back together at the end too, don't they?
It is a very heart-touching moment. Really, it's your basic rom-com. Man loves ventriloquist dummy. Ventriloquist dummy leaves him. Dummy comes back. They get back together. It's a beautiful story based on a true story.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw it on Twilight Zone.
I did too. I can absolutely understand why Jeff Flynn was an angry young man. Well, he's definitely a frustrated young man anyway. Because this song is fantastic. It's wonderful. It's great. I love everything about it. And he has all the right in the world to vent about how nobody other than music critics and people at working at BBC Radio are not listening to the Idle Race and they're not buying the records. And I would share in his frustration because this is a fantastic song in every way. There's nothing about it I hate. But there's also the thing that maybe every young artist, musician, writer, cartoonist, whatever, should probably go through to toughen their skin for what's to come later. If they become successful, because people are going to poke at you, whether you become successful or not. In those early days when you're putting out fantastic work and nobody's paying attention, or you're doing it for like 6 or 7 years on a regular schedule and you're putting your all into this work, and there are a lot of people who are saying nice things about it, but for some reason, the money isn't coming in. I'm sure it's a story many people can relate to. Somebody told me a few weeks ago that, oh, you guys think that they gave up that music hall sound? Well, you just wait until Mr. Crow shows up and Sir Norman. And I got excited. Oh, good, I can't wait to hear that again. Here it is. I love that old-timey piano. It's wonderful. It's bouncy. It's fun. I love it.
It's okay. It's a nice little filler track. Going back to the music hall thing, doing some strange little tale about guy and his ventriloquist dummy, and yeah, I just wasn't really moved by it at all. I figure it was a nice little tune, and there wasn't anything I hate about it either, but there wasn't anything I really loved about it. I've heard this stuff before, and we're going back to the ventriloquist dummy thing. And so many people just keep going back to it all the time. They've just trampled all over this story in different ways forever. And other than the Twilight Zone episode and a Friday the 13th, the series episode, I think if I never heard or saw another story about a ventriloquist dummy coming to life and doing stuff, I'd be a very, very happy person. It's one of those things where people just keep going back over and over. It's like people can't think of anything new. And this was an old story when this came out. I know he's trying to do something strange, but it's not really that strange. And in some ways, it just reminds me of, okay, well, he's trying to do something from Sgt. Pepper again. Don't know why. The rest of the album is sounding so forward in everything, and then there's this.
Well, you do make a valid point. I have long since lost count of how many songs have hit the Billboard Hot 100 that are about ventriloquist dummies that come to life and go out on their own to make it. I know it was well-trod material for the Carpenters. I can't tell you how many times Barry Manilow covered ventriloquist dummies in all of his songs. I mean, after all, Lola was a ventriloquist dummy in Copacabana, and look what happened to her.
Drinks herself half blind. She lost her youth and she lost the Tony. Now she lost her mind.
You know I mean as a place to write a story, not as a place to make a song. That story has been done so many times, I just don't get anything from it anymore.
I mean, sure, it's been done often, but how many songs are there about love and finding love?
I'm disgusted by about 90% of those, too. Even though this song doesn't disgust me, I should clarify that. This song does not disgust me. A lot of love songs make me want to throw up in my own mouth and hold it there until I can find the person who wrote it and then finish spewing. Yeah, the moment I heard one song by Air Supply, they didn't write it. It was one of their outside writer ones, but love is like a giant alligator coming to get you.
Are you for cereal?
I'm serious. There's one. That's not the exact lyric, but I think it's something like, when love comes at you like a giant alligator.
I have to look this up now.
It's on their Vanishing Race album.
Okay, I only know Air Supply by the hits, which are repetitive in story. I was sad, I was alone, I felt gloomy, and oh, she showed up and everything's great and I'm in love again.
Yep.
The basic layout for every Air Supply hit, anyway. I'm going to have to check out their Ode to Alligators now.
But I was going to say that maybe it's some sort of Campbell thing where we're getting back to archetypes, and we've got the archetype of a man holding his wood in front of an audience until it decides to get away from him.
I've been escorted out of many malls for doing that very same thing, yeah.
Especially if you try to make it talk.
Well, I liked the story. I thought it was amusing. I thought it was funny. Unlike most of these ventriloquist stories, I don't think, from what I read from the lyrics, that this dummy was pure evil.
No, it wasn't.
He wanted to venture out on his own. And he did. And he became very successful. He didn't become evil. He became an arrogant ass and demanded that you call him Sir. Mm-hmm. But they did get the band back together and they performed happily ever after.
I wonder if he did get an OBE.
Sir Norman?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I liked the story. I thought it was kind of funny that the dummy is going out on his own. And not only going out on his own, he made it. He became successful.
Yeah.
So at least the dummy didn't turn Mr. Crow into a ventriloquist dummy. Now, there are two things happening at the end of this song. In one channel, there's Jeff scatting and doing some happy little la-las and things like that. In the other channel is Mr. Crow and Sir Norman's act.
Thank you.
It's very deep in the mix. So I ran it through artificial intelligence to try and just isolate the ventriloquist act. Unfortunately, it's so buried in the mix that what AI could produce was truly terrifying. But here are the more audible parts from the nightmare fuel that I was able to sift out of it. But I did isolate Jeff Lynne's part so we can hear what he's singing, because both are kind of buried deep in the mix, but it was easier for AI to pull Jeff out of it than to pull the ventriloquist act out of it.
It's gonna be alright someday. Sometimes we'll. And you can dump the damn sound of the desert. A super rocket luna. And I'm dead, 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 dead,
So you have a nice sample of Jeff Lynne's scat.
I do. Do you know how long I've wanted a sample of Jeff Lynne's scat?
Yes.
Yes. Now the bioduplication process can begin.
Got something to say about Mr. Crow and Sir Norman? Then call the telephone line voicemail.
623-850-3375. Call now.
Of course, we all love the Electric Light Orchestra, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this podcast and I wouldn't be doing it since 2018. But with over 200 songs in their catalog, not everything can be gold. So what songs do ELO fans think are disposable? We find out in the sporadically reoccurring segment when I need to pad out an episode, Fault Line. Scott A. said, Wild West Hero. Feels like getting stuck in quicksand when framed in the context of the otherwise up-tempo Out of the Blue.
Well, hello, this is Dr. Troy calling with my thoughts on Mr. Crow and Mr. Norman by the Idle Race. Wow, this is a quirky little song, and I mean that in a good way. The Idle Race had several songs like this, and I think now I know where Jeff Lynne got the idea to do songs about eccentric, quirky individuals like Horace Wimp and the protagonist in the El Dorado album. I have to say, with the melody and the vocal style, this song reminds me a lot of Another Day by the Ruddles. And even I see elements of another Ruddles song, Double Back Alley, in there. The vocal is great. I love that high falsetto. I doubt if Jeff could reach that today, but man, what a great job. And the melody, it's fun. And I was thinking as I was listening to this, I don't listen to Dr. Demento anymore, but I used to listen to him a lot when he was on the radio. And I don't recall him ever playing the Idle Race. Of course, he may have and I may have forgotten. It's been years. But if Dr. Demento has never played anything by the Idle Race, well, I think he should. I mean, they're not funny ha-ha records necessarily, but not everything he plays is that either. And I think with the quirky style, I think it would be a great fit for his program. Well, anyway, I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Only once, on March 2nd, 1980.
Music for a spooky British-style merry-go-round on the Dr. Demento show, The Skeleton and the Roundabout, done several years before Yes did their quite different Roundabout song, and that was by Idle Race with Jeff Lynne. Idle Race never did get to be as famous as that group that Paul McCartney was in before he started Wings.
Face the Music, a pre-ELO song-by-song podcast, is a production of Radio Trolla Entertainment Assorted Deli Meats Amalgamated. You can contact us by voicemail at 623-850-3375. 3375 or email us at eloftmpodcast@gmail.com and we'll read and reply to it on the show. Keep up to date by joining our Facebook group and spread the word by sharing the link or giving us a quick rating on iTunes. Subscribe to our YouTube page, the Electric Light Orchestra Podcast Channel, to hear other goodies. You can financially support the podcast at patreon.com/ELOPod or PayPal using the podcast's email address, or send a check or money order to P.O. Box 1932, Superior, Arizona 85173. Next week, please, no more sad songs.